There's this reality within your heart and my heart that there is a battle taking place, that there are things that are either trying to take residency in our hearts that shouldn't be there, or things that we have allowed to take residence in our heart that shouldn't be there, or the battle of what should be in there and that we're not allowing it to be there. And so let's look at it as we start to read. Matthew 6, verse 25, it says, "Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing?" And I want you to paint this picture because it is, something I should have said earlier is one of the coolest things about the Bible is how realistic it is. The Bible doesn't try to portray this fairy tale image of what the world is. In fact, it acknowledges everything that you and I face. It's just a matter of not of us trying to look into the Bible as a guidance on how to deal with it. But the Bible does not ignore, neither does Jesus ignores what's going on here. And to put it into perspective, you have Jesus addressing a crowd from different backgrounds, different struggles, different stories, that you most likely had people there that were heavy-hearted with things, whether it was their physical needs, whether it was their health issues, whether it was that they were sin struggles, whether it was that they were concerned about their future things. And you can see how Jesus, in this massive crowd that was gathering around him, he's going to be addressing different things. And up to this point, he's going to be addressing this idea of anxiety. And now, if you're a man, if you're like me at least, I don't go around saying that I'm feeling anxious. It's not something that is on my lingo as far as for me to talk in the first person. And it's not because it's not happened. It's just that I don't feel comfortable to say I'm anxious. You know, maybe it's I need to work on that. But the way that is described here, which I think would explain well for all of us, is this idea of consuming or concern of like what is of heavy weight concern in our life. What is concerning our minds? What is concerning us right now? And so there are things for all of us that is constantly concerning us. And so this is what he's referring here. So again, back to verse 25. Jesus is going to go, "Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than the clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more of value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies, lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arranged like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear?' For the Gentiles seek after all these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." Again, very powerful passage of the Bible, where Jesus is going to be acknowledging things that we all have faced at different times. And it is very comforting, and it is very comforting and encouraging to know the reality that we do have a Father in heaven that cares about us and about each one of us. But the picture that you see here, and then like you picture this mount as Jesus is addressing, it is safe to assume that he's looking at the individuals. And again, knowing that they're coming from different backgrounds, it's as if Jesus is directly talking to them and saying to them, "Hey, do you see the birds?" And pointing out at the birds. "Do you see the flowers on the ground?" And look at pointing out the flowers, making this connection with them that often we miss. And yet Jesus, in his intentionality, he's acknowledging to them what it is that they're going through. And I just think that just that alone speaks of the character of Jesus and God, that he does not dismiss whatever it is that we're going through, yet he acknowledges, but not only acknowledges, he addresses it. And so he's looking at this crowd and he's talking to them about the very things that are consuming them, the things that they're being overly consumed about, the things that they're constantly, that is taking residence not only in their heart, but in as a side effect in their minds, the things that they're wanting that is affecting their emotions, the way they feel, the way they behave, their actions. And so Jesus is going to take the time to acknowledge those things. And so when we read this passage, we often read it in a way that is like, hey, don't be anxious. As if it's like, hey, here's, don't get to that point of being anxious. But we don't often see it as us being either in that point right now, which is something that we don't often acknowledge. That we don't often acknowledge that there are things that we are overly concerned about. If we were to pause right now and went like one by one and say, hey, what it is that you're overly concerned about? What would you say? We all have something. Is it health? Is it finances? Is it friendship? Is it fill in the blank? What is it? We're all overly concerned. And yet what you find that Jesus, what he's doing here, he's going to address, but the part that we often dismiss is the very challenge that he's telling them to do, which is found in verse 33. He will say to them, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you. See, we often think, read this passage, and we're only caught up with the reality again that God is a good father, that he cares, that he knows what it is that you and I are facing, which is true. And I hope you know that. And I hope that you realize that regardless of where you are today, whatever heaviness you have on your heart, whatever it is that you're overly concerned about, I hope that you know that God cares about it, that he cares about each one of us, that if we ever have to question whether or not he cares about us, the very simple test to that is the very fact that he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross. That if all that he did was to send Jesus on the cross, that is more than enough proof that he cares about you and me. And yet, that is not where he ends. You see the imagery that he's using. He says, look at the birds as they're flying. We got this bird feeder in our house, and we named them. There's a cardinal and then what I think is a female cardinal, and they constantly are fighting. The cardinal is a bad bird, and we call him, Frederick, but then let Emerson name him Brett, like the food. Why? I don't know. But anyways, you see him flying. And it's as I'm prepping to this, I'm thinking like the irony of like even God in his sovereignty. It sounds silly, but yet how true it is that he moved my wife Jenny to go to Amazon and buy this bird feeder to put it on a window so that the girls can see it. But in doing so, this bird is being eating. It's very small and very minute things, but nonetheless, if God can do something like that for a bird, are we much of more value? Didn't Jesus die for us on the cross and rose from the dead as a proof of our value? And yet, we read this and we're reminded of the fact, yeah, God does that more. God cares more about us than this bird. And so he knows our needs and he will take care of that. And then you see the other imagery about God being a father that you know, like you look at the flowers and how beautiful they grow depending on what they are and how they're clothed and how he takes care of them. And then he's saying, and like, why will you worry or be overly concerned about those things, knowing that if God can clothe the flowers, then he can also clothe you. He can meet your physical needs. He knows you. He knows your struggles. He knows what it is. And you see this picture of God caring, which is very true in the passage, which is true of God. And so I hope that you know that that is the case. But we stop short there. When we read this, we stop just right there. And even if we don't read this, we're only concerned about the fact, yeah, God cares about me. I can go to God and ask him. It's like you do like a roll of things, and you got like this whole list of things that are coming out in a roll of all of our requests. That when we go in a time of prayer, it's like, hey, God, I need this, I need that. Can you help me with this? Can you do this? Because we know he cares. And yet, one of the main points of Jesus selling this whole thing to them is for them to for the audience, and by extension us tonight, to understand this principle of seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And how many times do we miss this? That another way of putting it is for us to seek the things that are of God. That Jesus is saying to them, hey, before anything else that you will seek in your life, seek the things that are of God. That if something is going to take place in your heart, that if there's going to be something that you're going to be overly concerned about, that they will be the very things of God. And again, if we were to go around in the room, how many of us could genuinely say, well, that's me. These are the things that I'm verily overly concerned about. I'm overly concerned about God, about what he calls me to do, about what he has done for us and how to live in a way that brings him honor and glory. But if we're transparent, and if I'm transparent, that's not the case. I had to learn that. I'm still learning that. That most of the times that I go about my day, I'm more concerned about what I get, how I look, how I'm perceived, all of these different things, than I am about being obedient to the very things that God have laid out for us to be obedient. And yet, the Lord says here, Jesus says here, but seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God. That if there is something that we should be seeking after, if there is something that should be taking place in our heart, that they will be the very things that are of God, not about the things in the world. Colossians, Paul talks about this. Keep our minds on things of heaven, and it's not to get caught up on the things of earth, and yet how easy it is for us to get caught up with the things on earth. And then I love it because then he doesn't end there. He says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then he says, and guess what? All of these things will be added to you. So most of the time, if not every time, we read this as like, hey, God is going to give us all of these things. And then that's it. And as a result of that, then we should seek after God because he's been so good to us. But before we expect God to do something for us, it's like the ball is in our court. That we are to take the first steps of seeking after God. Do we do that? Do we desire our emotions, our desires, are they in connection with who God is and what he has for us? David will say in Psalms 27 verse 4, and this is a very beautiful psalm, he will say, this one thing have I asked of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. David, being someone that we know is referred to as someone after God's own heart, he's saying here's the one thing that I'm pursuing in life. Here's the one thing that I'm seeking, that I will dwell, that I will meditate, that I would take residency in the place where God is dwelling all the days of my life, that I will look at the Lord and be in completely awe of his beauty, of his person, of his attributes, and that I will continue to learn and to continue to continue to grow as I am in the place where he is residing, in his temple. That's his desire. And no wonder that even though he will make mistakes that most of us know, he will still continue to pursue after God, because even in instances like this, you find that in his heart, the thing that he proactively wanted to make sure that control his heart was the things of God. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficiency for the day is its own trouble. Jesus will end the statement. How many things are happening in our life, the way that we feel, the desires that we have, they're there because we have got it wrong. I know that this has been true in my life, that I sometimes will hold God accountable for things that he never promised. That there are things in my life, that there's been stages in my life of things that I have desired, that I am consumed by them. That my joy as a believer has been robbed. That my hope in who God is, or my views of who God is, has been robbed. Because there is this one thing that I've been desiring for so long, and yet when they're not given to me, I completely collapse. But those things have never been promised to me. Not only do I collapse, then I blame God for it. I base God's goodness and his faithfulness on things that he never promised that he would give me. And yet the very things that he does promise me, I don't pursue after them. That Jesus to this crowd, again, a crowd not much different than us here tonight, he will say to them, do not be anxious about anything. Do not be overly concerned about things. But instead, seek first the kingdom of God. And what we often don't realize, is that as we are attempting to find what we want, we often get the things that we don't want. That as we're attempting to find hope and satisfaction and peace on things on this world, which is why they take a big place in our hearts, at the end of the day, when we don't get them, they leave us worse than how we started. They leave us more hopeless, more dissatisfied, more empty, more broken than how we started. And so the challenge for us tonight as a generation, but even as just as believer in general, is to realize what Jesus is trying to say to them, the same thing that he's trying to say to us tonight. Seek first the kingdom of God. That as there is this battle in our heart that is constantly waging for control, that the things that we will be proactive every day, not just once, but every day as we wake up, to be proactive about is to let or to pursue the very things that are of God. That tomorrow when you wake up, that you will make your mind, that I will make my mind and say, today, God, I want to do this for you. I want to seek after this. I will say this not because I'm not saying that's an example because I'm doing it well, because that's not the point. But something that God has been breaking me and teaching me lately is this idea of, like, for me as a pastor to be reminded of two things: that my calling as a pastor is to love God with all my heart and all my soul, and then to love his people just as he loved them. And then with that, as a pastor, that I am to shepherd the people or the sheep that are among me. And as God has been challenging me with that, I need to seek that every single day. I need to pray every single day for those things and ask the Lord, Lord, help me with that. And I would love to say to you today that those are the things that I would pray every single day. And the reality is, it's not. I get caught up in the pursuit of things. I get caught up on wanting this one thing, or like I'll be transparent. I love the Apple Watch, and I love the Apple Watch Ultra, and I'll cut out myself, and that's all I'm thinking for the day. And I spent a whole day just thinking about the Apple Ultra, which means nothing in comparison to, you know, who God is. And yet, something small like that can quickly take a control in my heart. There's more things. Again, for us, like trying for a baby, wanting that, and when it doesn't happen, my emotions and my desires are controlled. Wanting for the right job title, or the right job opportunity, or wanting for the right salary, and when those things are not happening, I find myself being overly concerned or anxious. And yet, the call for them remains the same for us tonight. But seek first the kingdom of God. But seek first before anything else, seek first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you. As the band is going to come up to do one more song, here's a question that I wanted us to really think through. And you're going to be shocked because it's going to be a very complex question that you will not see coming. But the question is, what are you going to seek after tonight? What are you going to seek after tonight? When you leave this room, what is the thing that you're going to allow to take place or take rule of your heart that will move you into seeking it? And I love how Jesus addressed all of these things because, again, the picture that he has is like the things that are heavy on your heart, the things that you're desiring, they're not bad things for the most part. They're not bad things. He's not dismissing those things from the crowd. In fact, he reminds them that God cares about them and that they are of more value. But the good things become bad things when they think the place of the right thing. And that sounded very pastoral. I'm pretty proud of myself for coming on the spot. Not really. But don't miss it. We are to seek after the kingdom of God, the things that are of God first, above anything else. And how we are responsible for that. And if we're not doing that, then no wonder why it is that we find ourselves dealing with the heavy weights of being overly concerned with things. And I hope that tonight, as you're here tonight, that you don't feel that I'm trying to dismiss or to discourage you from, or to try to minimize what it is that is having on your heart, but quite the opposite. To acknowledge that you feel like you are being acknowledged that what you're going through is real. That there's this battle within you. But the way we go about it is that we need to be proactively seeking after God.